Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the Three Good Things podcast, where, you guessed it, I talk about three good things. I'm Tradul, and let's just jump into it for the day. Our guest today is Taylor Neiman, who is the co-founder and CEO of Toucan. She's born and raised in LA. Taylor has spent over a decade building and scaling startups in LA, most notably including Headspace, Pop, and Fair. Her expertise at early-stage consumer brands has helped drive growth from seed to Series B. She has a passion for building companies that align technology, business, and mission. And she's also a former graduate of Cornell University. Welcome to the pod, Taylor.
Thanks so much, Shardul. I'm so excited to be here with you.
For those of you that are just joining us, this is a recording of my podcast, Three Good Things. The room will be recorded, and after about the first half hour, I'll open the stage up to any audience questions. So just jumping right into it, kind of tell us a little bit about Toucan, and then we'll jump into kind of the questions that I have for you.
Awesome. So Toucan is a free browser extension that you install into Chrome. And then as you're reading New York Times in the morning, binge watching Netflix, going down Reddit rabbit holes, we serve you up with micro moments of learning. Really right now, laser focused on languages and teaching you about five of them right now, with more coming very soon.
That was a perfect like 10, 15 second elevator pitch, which I'm sure has been refined over the course of pitching many different people. What was the first pitch you had, or kind of like the idea you had for Toucan before it was so dialed in?
Oh my goodness. I actually took a lot of time to pitch every founder that would listen to me, just to really poke holes in even the idea at the beginning. And just over and over again, that repetition before even getting in front of investors. So definitely love that you've picked up on that. I've done it quite a few times now.
Yeah, it's similar to like my podcast intro. My first few that I did were just insanely long. And my buddy who does a podcast as well, he's like, I stopped listening after the first 10 seconds. So move on, dude. But yeah, it's just after repetition, you get a little bit better. Similarly, kind of you mentioned in your intro and in your experiences that you've been at Headspace, Fair, Science, which are all very different companies in terms of expertise. Why do something in the language space now?
Yes. So what's the similar thread between all these companies are, one, they're consumer tech. And then two, they have some sort of mission alignment driving behind that. There's three of us co-founders. Really, our expertise, consumer tech. We saw a nugget of really how hard it was to get anyone to do anything. And so with Toucan, our thesis is, let's actually not try to steal time and attention out of everyone's very busy days, because you're not just competing against friends, family, work, and school, but also Netflix, Spotify, Instagram, and everything in between. But let's instead intentionally layer on top of existing behaviors and meet people where they already are throughout the flow of their day. And so that was the nugget we had on the consumer tech side. And then on the learning side, we were really just scratching our own edge. Like, we've always been learning new languages or wanting to upskill ourselves as individuals, but never had the time to actually do it within our crazy lives.
That's interesting. So when you think of like competition or people that are kind of taking like, quote unquote, like market share away from you, do you think of it more as like the attention companies, like a Netflix, a Spotify, or people in the language space?
So what's interesting about us is it's actually, we're not competing against Facebook, Netflix, and the other attention companies, because we're layered on top of that. So if you choose to do Facebook or Netflix, that's awesome. You go for it. And you can learn something while you're using those products as you browse the web. Language learning is also really interesting, the ecosystem, because we're actively speaking with the biggest players, whether it's Rosetta Stone to Babbel, because if you are taking time out of your day to open an app or use a textbook or leverage a tutor marketplace, like, you go for it. But what would be awesome is Toucan now can accelerate that learning and pair that vocabulary progression with your journey as you're going about your day browsing.
Yeah, something that I love about Toucan is its simplicity, and I guess subtlety is the best word to use. And I think I just started relearning Spanish using Toucan. And then for some reason, I'm also trying to learn Hindi on Duolingo at the same time. And they're very different experiences because Spanish is very much like I see like the word example, which changes to ejemplo. And I realize that, oh, 2 and 2 equals 1 or 1 and 1 equals 2. So, you know, that is the word example in Spanish. And then Duolingo is very much like exercise, get 10 points of experience, etc. What's interesting to me for just a consumer of Toucan is kind of the way that you've started gamifying it, where there's a little bit of words that you can see people have translated. But where is the direction of Toucan going in terms of the gamification of language learning?
Yes, so a few things that are coming down the pipe that we're super excited about is this progression as you're browsing through these like magical inline translations. So you mentioned like right now there's a few words and phrases here and there, but imagine the word coffee translated aligned to cafe. We can start to pick up on our back end like, hey, actually, Shardul, you totally understand coffee. Now we can give you collocations or really two words together. So we're going to translate inline hot coffee and cold coffees. So you can start understand gender and pluralization. And once you've mastered that, we'll now give you a small phrase or a short little sentence so you can start to understand verb conjugations or grammar structure. And not only that, there is still that consumer perception of, I need to play games or use quizzes to really learn, because that has been the last 20 years of brainwashing we've had going through formal education. So we will also be having different deeper exercises. We just launched our first mini game portal, which if you navigate over to any Wikipedia article, you'll see a little toucan banner inviting you to play one of our mini games. And this is some of our deeper exercises for you to continually test your knowledge.
I love that. And I think what you guys have done to differentiate across just other language apps when it comes to learning is that I don't have to download a separate app or put my time into learning how to use the new UI. For example, that's actually why I stopped learning Hindi for a while, is because I had to keep finding where Duolingo was on my phone and then clicking it and then being like, okay, maybe I'll do like 10 experience points for today, maybe 10 tomorrow. But for Toucan, it's exactly where I'm already at, which is on Twitter using my Chrome browser or reading a Wikipedia article. I think part of when you guys were launching, was that on purpose or is that something driven by the community of users or the people that really wanted to use the platform and learn languages?
Yeah, so definitely created that seedling first. So our first version of Toucan, it was so ugly, it was beautiful, and it was also a very terrible user experience. But if you can imagine the word the being translated hundreds of times across your browsing pages, like that was our first version. But we had this like insight of, okay, let's layer on top of behaviors, meet people where they are, but is this actually even an interesting way to learn? And so we started diving deeper and deeper into the pedagogy and science of learning new languages, and this contextual immersion on top of what you already love is really the gold standard when it comes to all of the research. And so we're like, okay, there's something really interesting here, which then we started creating a bunch of hypotheses, proving this right or wrong. But even when we proved something wrong, the idea still got bigger for us.
So when it comes to like learning, there's the saying that immersive learning is the best way to learn. And before COVID and everything, there was definitely this kind of, I guess, almost, you could call it a fantasy or at least like a goal for people to concretely learn a language, for example, Spanish, go and immerse yourself in the culture, go live in Mexico for a year and like learn like the colloquialisms that people use, or go live in Spain for a year. Kind of with that, you've kind of taken that concept and then made it digitized. But what do you think about immersive learning as a concept overall?
For sure. And really like, the best way to learn is like go to Paris, stay in France, but that's not very accessible to every single person imaginable and for at all times when you are trying to master that language. And so for us, like if you look at the pedagogy, it tells you to go read Harry Potter in Spanish, like something you're already familiar with and can kind of understand, or go watch Friends with French subtitles. And it's really like this comprehensible input, and which is why we take these keywords, phrases, and translate it so you still have the benefit of context around you, so you can kind of make your way through without getting too frustrated. So really balancing that difficulty level.
Got it. Kind of shifting gears a little bit, why the word toucan?
So many different reasons. So a few that come to mind right away. One, we knew we wanted a mascot. Like, toucan, our mascot, is beyond adorable, and we've just learned from building consumer brands how much design really impacts even building community and allowing people, like, feeling, making the brand feel accessible to every single type of person. And so that's one reason. Two, like, birds fly and they hover, and our product very much is an overlay and hovering across the web as you're going about your day. Birds travel, and our first content vertical is languages. Toucan kind of sounds like phonetically you in many different languages, like you can or you can do it, which is a really cute phrase as far as learning goes.
I didn't even think of it that way. I just thought you guys love toucans. But there's a lot more deeper meaning to it. But I just saw, I think earlier today, you tweeted out some designs of the mascot. Did you already have kind of a mascot in mind of like what a toucan is going to look like? And then is it ever changing, or kind of where is the toucan going, I guess, is another question.
I love it. So those toucan designs are actually from one of our amazing engineers, and he just creates a new toucan design every morning just for fun and changes his Slack image to that. So it's just sharing some love for those designs. But we, our lead designer, Cassandra, is insanely talented, and one of the key reasons why a toucan looks so beautiful and simple and elegant too. But as he is today, we'll probably leave him the same, but we may even be adding some more character into the mix.
I love it. One other thing I was wondering is when it comes to kind of the toucan or kind of a family of birds, is it more kind of similar to you, like other big tech companies that have done kind of the mascot area, is like Salesforce or even like Disney? Is kind of where you want to go with mascots, kind of building out a whole ecosystem and like a story behind them, and then each one represents something different? Or is it more just to make it a lot more playful and easier for people to interact with?
I think it's actually a mix of both. So it definitely creates that brand community, make the product accessible, fun, easy to do. Like, this shouldn't feel like homework, even though you're learning, right? We even, like, instead of let's practice, we use verbiage like let's play. We want this to be fun and not another thing on your to-do list that you have to do. But to your point, yeah, it gives us opportunity to expand into other content verticals, but still having toucan really be that main character and umbrella.
Very cool. And then kind of switching gears back to like the theme of the podcast and some of the questions that I asked or that I sent over, what are three things that are good in your life right now, or three things that you're currently grateful for?
I love this question so much because I try to keep a gratitude journal every day in the mornings. One, like, that definitely comes to mind first is just being healthy, given everything happening in the state of the world. Like, feel super grateful and excited for that every day as I'm waking up. Second, having amazing co-founders to go on this journey of really building our dream company together. Like, there's so much you have to do when you build a startup, that having two insanely talented people who are also amazing humans go on this journey with them. Me, I'm really grateful for that. And then lastly, like, my golden retriever, so Simba, he is with me in my apartment every single day during quarantine, like, happy no matter what, and just always by my side. And he's insanely entertaining because he is way too smart for his own good.
His name's Simba?
Yes, Simba like the lion.
That is so funny, because growing up, I grew up in Arizona, and our neighbor's dog, who I never grew up with a pet myself, but I used to take care of our neighbor's dog a ton. And this is just a small world and maybe a coincidence. Their dog is a giant golden retriever, also named Simba.
Aww, it's so precious. I love it so much.
I know. We used to like toy around. It kind of related to me, but not really. We just happened to be neighbors. My name means lion in Sanskrit, and whoa, my parents decided to like lean into that heavy after I was born. And my first movie, when I pretty much like a year after, maybe like 6 months or like 8 months after I was born, was The Lion King.
And I love that.
It's my favorite movie to tilt to date. The first stuffed animal was like a big Simba. And then turns out our neighbor's dog, who our parents were friends for probably like 7 or 8 years before I was born, their dog, they got Simba, I think 2 or 3 years after I was born. Ironically, though, Simba, the dog that I know, is a very dumb dog. He's a little bit older now, but like when he was younger, he didn't know where stuff was half the time. So he would like be like, "Simba, fetch," and he would like run in the opposite direction.
Oh goodness! Well, first off, like Lion King is such a good movie, and then Simba is like, my Simba's way too smart for instance. Like, he can open doors and he knows where all of his dog friends live across the apartment complex and will go open those doors.
Oh my gosh. That's insane. Did you teach him that? How does a dog even learn?
I have no idea. I think he's just way smarter than the average golden retriever, because we had a family golden growing up as well, and he was not this wicked smart.
Yeah, it's funny because when we were growing up as like a community of kids in Arizona, we would play with Simba, and I remember one time we had like just watched Star Wars, and we came back when we were having like a kid sleepover, back when you could go do those things, and we were like crowding around Simba, and we were going like, "Simba, I am your father," just completely butchering all the movies and like everything, but... It's funny, Simba's now, the Simba that I know, not your dog, my friend's dog, I think he's like 13. He's very slow. Aww. He's still like, I think he's weirdly gotten smarter as he's gotten older.
The wisdom over the years.
I think so. I think it's also having moved, and they quickly got two cats after, I think Simba turned like 4 or 5. And then I think after living with two cats, he's like had to smarten up. He's like, I have to fight for like mom and dad and like everyone else's attention in the household now.
I love it. Yeah. Cats tend to be really smart as well. So maybe he was up leveling himself.
I think so. Yeah. But kind of going back to the topics, I also learned while I was kind of doing some, let's just say, research. You used to be a former volleyball captain at Cornell.
Yes. So I've played competitive volleyball my entire life and still love to play pickup, especially because no one expects it from me. I'm on the smaller side, but I can jump really high. But I played both indoor and beach volleyball, went to the Junior Olympics, and played D1 in college.
Holy cow. All right, so like you're like a real athlete.
Yeah, I thought I was going to go to the real Olympics. Ended up getting injured in college, really hurt both of my knees, but I am very competitive.
So after being a collegiate athlete, what made you want to come to like tech and building partnerships and something that's completely outside of, it's still competitive, but it's not definitely completely outside of, you know, showing up to practice every day?
Yeah, so I've always had different ideas growing up, and only until college did I realize engineering was even a thing that I could do. I don't know if I just was never marketed to me or what, but I had no idea what the concept of coding was, and any idea I could just build with my own hands via software. And so in college, I got exposed to that and then just started doing different internships until I realized, oh, okay, cool. Let me first learn off of other people's dimes And while I'm soaking up all that knowledge, I'll add value, build my network to then when I know I'm going to jump at some point to start something, I'll have a really good starting point for me. And so that was like over a few different iterations. Toucan is the fourth business I've started, but it's the first one successfully venture-backed that I've gotten off the ground.
Interesting. So what was the first one, and why did you want to make your first thing you started by yourself instead of continuing that internship experience or potentially going like the corporate route?
So there was a few different learnings in between. The first one was actually not by myself, but the co-founder was a complete stranger that I recruited because I did not yet have my network in LA Tech, who was technical, and I didn't know how to code yet. And as you can imagine, that ended miserably. So then the next time that I left my full-time job, I taught myself how to code. I used YouTube videos. I watched everything available and got my first iOS app live and ready to rock in like 4 weeks' time. But at that point, I was a solo founder, but just starting to really build up my network. And then the next time I tried to start something, it was with one of my now co-founders, but it was not that great of idea. We pitched maybe 200 investors. Everyone tore apart the idea, but they loved us as a team, which allowed us to build some really great relationships before several years later, we went on to start Toucan with three co-founders, an amazing vision, and having some relationships in place already.
That is a fantastic story. And I think something that dovetails kind of perfectly into the next segment of the podcast, which is the learning segment. It's a segment that I'm trying kind of new here on Clubhouse, but it's basically a segment about learning. I'm a big believer that life is a never-ending like learning journey, and I recently learned about this thing called the growth mindset by Carol Dweck, where if you adopt the mentality that learning is a never-ending journey, you don't look at things as failures. You just look at them as learning opportunities. So with that, what are you currently learning?
First of all, I love that mindset. That's one of our core values at Toucan. So it's very funny that you shout that one out specifically. Growth mindset is on our Notion doc for our internal team, like always trying to learn new things. One thing specifically that I'm working on is really like routines. So morning routines, night routines, because I'm realizing my most important asset, especially as we start continuing to scale Toucan, like we're 12 full-time employees right now. We'll be gearing up for our Series A sometime early next year. Like I have to be ruthless about my time and making sure I'm not just being busy, but I'm getting the big things that really need to be done finished for the day.
Nice. Yeah, that's interesting. For me, what I'm currently learning is, well, Spanish through Toucan. But also teaching myself guitar, because growing up, I knew absolutely nothing. My parents made me play clarinet while I was playing competitive chess, and I was the seventh chair out of seven kids. I was terrible, and I didn't do anything musical after that. So now I'm trying to like teach myself guitar, and I'm staring at my guitar, which is currently collecting dust.
Love that. I wish I was musical in one way or another. I love singing, but I will make your ears bleed because I am terrible. But guitar is awesome.
I was just going to say, I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you want to sing a little bit.
No way. Trust me, it's for the betterment of everyone.
Got it. Yeah, I think I'm also just a big believer in learning in general. And I think the biggest amount of learning happens after you learn how to learn. And for me, I went to college for engineering, and then now I work in marketing. Actually, I'm technically unemployed now because I just left my job. But the podcast came out of just that sheer motivation of learning how to do something by just doing it and iterating and then getting better over time. And ironically, starting a podcast, you would probably mean that like I'm great talking long form, which it might seem like that, having done like 80 some odd episodes, but I'm actually really terrible at long form talking. And I was told multiple times during like big presentations that I'm not very good at it. So I was like, huh, best way to do long form talking is to just talk to myself or maybe talk with other people.
That's so awesome. Do you feel like you've gotten better over time as well?
Definitely. I think the two things that have that are just life lessons that I feel like I've gotten a lot better at are actively listening to people and long form talking. It rarely happens, especially now during COVID, where you have to stand up in front of people and give 10-minute, 15-minute presentations without them being distracted or like hold the audience's attention. And I think it's a skill that doesn't even matter what industry you're in, everyone should get better at, because at some point in time, you're going to have to pitch an idea or, you know, propose something or give a review. You're going to have to talk in front of people. You're never going to just be a complete resolute person behind four walls, right? So I think the podcast for me is kind of out of that. And then also I never really learned how to do podcasting. Like there wasn't like a, hey, here's a handbook, here's what you should do. I had an idea right after Some Good News ended with John Krasinski, which is a show I absolutely loved, and then decided to just start this and call it Three Good Things. Rolls off the tongue. My niece is 8 years old, and I was like, hey, do you want to make a logo? And she was like, I don't even know how to spell the word logo. So she threw something together, and that's the logo. And like, there's nothing that's very much like big production or like a sponsor. But through the podcast, I've met some fantastic people. And then through Clubhouse, I've also met some fantastic people. So over time, it's just gotten better and better, but I'm still learning how to like do a podcast properly.
But that's awesome. And it's a tool and a way for you to continue learning. I really love that so much.
Yeah. I think the last part of this first part of the podcast is the lightning round. And then right after the lightning round, we'll open up the stage to the audience. So if anyone has questions, feel free to raise your hand and I'll bump you up to stage. You can ask Taylor or I any questions, complete AMA style. We'll keep the room open for about 20 to 30 minutes more. But feel free to ask any questions that you have. But before we jump to that, lightning round. Taylor, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, I want to say French toast, but waffles.
Let's do it. Wait, maybe not ready. I feel like we both know the answer to this one, but dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Me too. West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast.
Land or water? City or suburbs?
City.
All right, Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
This question is from before COVID, but I guess you could apply it to either or. Big party or small gathering?
Small gathering.
Me too. I used to be a big party guy, and then I realized that I hated big parties. And then COVID happened, and I can't have big parties. So.
Exactly. Of course it.
Exactly. Last one is TV shows or movies?
Movies.
Nice. I think if there's no questions, the other piece I wanted to get into is kind of how you think about Toucan as being the CEO. But before we jump into that, if anyone has a question, feel free to raise your hand and I'll bump you up to stage to ask Taylor or I any questions. Hey, Zach. Welcome.
Hey, Zach.
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for the talk. It was really interesting. It was actually the first time I heard about Toucan, so I just downloaded it and installed it into my browser. I've been trying to somewhat unsuccessfully learn Spanish for a while now, so I'm interested to see if I can kind of fit that into my day-to-day life and not fail so much at Duolingo. But the question that I had for you is more to do with, like, how do you see kind of monetizing this long term? Obviously, I've just installed it now, and I can see that it was, you know, free to install. So how do you kind of see like your your monetization strategy moving forward.
Yeah, and Zach, thank you so much for downloading Toucan. And if you have any feedback at all, too, feel free to email me at any point or tweet at me. Like, DM's always open there, too. Always love feedback. But for the monetization side, so free to download, we'll have a freemium subscription. The subscription is actually live already, but it's pretty hard to find, and you have to dig to find it. But we're in the midst of this sprint, actually the next 2 weeks, re-optimizing it and really putting it at a pinch point where users are asking us for more. And so that may be after X amount of times using our mini games, or for deeper, more intense translations that are more difficult for you as you're browsing. So really like testing out where is that more, and then putting that sub paywall there. But in addition to that, we've been monetizing off of what we call own the word. We launched this really as a growth vector for us, but you can purchase a word or phrase that will show up within Toucan. So for instance, Bill Nye owns the word science. And whenever that word is translated and you hover over it, you'll see his name, image, and you can include an optional URL. And coffee, for instance, is owned by Morning Brew Newsletter. And so that is another revenue stream that we have as well. And then future down the line, we'll integrate microtransactions and then really go after B2B, whether that's workplace or schools. Like Chromebooks are extremely prevalent, and I had no idea how many of them are out in K-12 and university students.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing how things progress. As I said, if we've got any feedback, I will let you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
If anyone else has any questions, feel free to pop up. It's interesting you mentioned Chromebooks, because Chromebooks, I think I used to work a lot with the education side when I was at Salesforce, as well as before that at Intel. And Chromebooks were almost the default for a lot of schools and even universities. I'm wondering if you kind of have you guys already thought about kind of partnering with education institutions to help them with their language curriculum?
Yeah, so massive opportunity, and we're getting a lot of inbound heat from teachers and students right now. But if you think of what are students learning in the classroom, and how can we pair that progression of like a vocabulary list that week that they've mastered that now progresses with them as they're using their Chromebook throughout their school day, but also as they're browsing the web at home.
Got it. By the way, for those of you just joining the room, feel free to raise your hand if you have a question to ask either me or Taylor about anything. If there's no questions, I think the other piece I wanted to kind of jump into is, as a CEO of, you mentioned there's like 15 people at Toucan?
Yeah, just 12 right now, but 12. Scaling, we'll get to 15 soon.
Gotcha. How do you think of like team building and keeping the culture as great as it was right when, you know, you met your two other co-founders? Like, how do you think about building teams?
So this piece is really important to us and something we were very intentional about since day one, because we've been in some of the best companies within tech in Los Angeles, and we've seen the craziest things you could ever imagine, but we've also seen really good things. And so how do we take those learnings and now build our dream company off of it? And even simple things of like when we were going through the hiring process, like we took extra time to find not only the smartest people, but people that were not only not assholes, but also like culture add, not even culture fit. Like I think people need to be additive so that you're not getting a lot of the same people within the room around the team. And then we do simple things, but really fun things. Like on Fridays, everyone changes their Slack name to a different theme. I think last week was like, what is your favorite dinosaur? And around Halloween was like, what are you most scared of? Or what's your phobia? It creates some kind of entropy because you're trying to find people's names, but it's a really nice moment of like learning a little bit more about your co-founders, but also like the team members all around you. Another fun thing we do at the end of our daily stand-up is the whoever got the toucan the day before, we have all have these little plush toucans, gets to give public kudos to any of the team members that they want and really explain why. And so it's just another point to give like praise and really kudos to the team.
I love that. Something that I have seen not done very well at some of the big tech companies that I've worked at is recognition and making sure that people are seen for their efforts, whether that's someone who's like the CEO of the company, like a company like Salesforce or Intel, or just a manager of like a small team. Even if it's something small, like, hey, great email that you sent to so-and-so, or just a small bit of recognition goes a long way in terms of building that culture for a company.
Exactly. It's super important and something like on a daily basis we're trying to integrate.
I'm curious, when you were founding the company with your two other co-founders, how did you decide between the different roles that the three of you would have? Like, how'd you decide you as CEO, and then I'm assuming the other two are probably CTO and maybe another three-letter acronym that I probably don't know.
Yeah, Chief Product Officer. So it's okay. Super natural for us. Brandon has always been leading product at all the companies we've worked together. Sean on the engineering side, legit badass engineer, best one I've ever worked with. And then me on the really distribution and fundraising side. My background has always been business development, strategic partnerships. So it was almost like, okay, we all know our roles and we complement each other's skill sets so well.
Interesting. Because I've talked to some other co-founders and sometimes they'll say, we're going to do co-CEOs for a while. We're going to try something else. But that seems like it just like fell into place pretty perfectly.
Exactly. And the team piece is so important. Really, like as you start building something and it's taking off, really like making sure not only the founding team is set, but the entire team is set. I just have seen so many things go poorly, even at the early stages on the founding side.
So kind of as on that vein, as 2020 is coming to a close, what's your number one goal for Toucan for the rest of the year and maybe even going into 2021?
Yep. So if you asked me last month, it was prepping for our Series A, just building relationships with investors, because a lot of them have seen us since day one before we even had a product and just had an idea. But that was intentional on our end, one, because we wanted them to see everything that we were saying we are actually executing on and more, which then makes those conversations easier. But also, we tend to make our investors very wealthy, and we want to make sure the money is going in the right hands that are going to have good ripple effects. But with that kind of chapter like closed and paused for now until next year, I am laser focused on growth. Like, how do we keep scaling Toucan and scaling organically without paid acquisition?
Interesting. By the way, if anyone's just joining to the room, feel free to raise your hand and I'll pop you up to stage to ask a question. Otherwise, we'll just continue the conversation for probably the next 10 minutes or so. Kind of in the same note as like as a CEO, as a founder, who are some people that you look up to kind of learn best practices or draw inspiration from?
Such a good question. So definitely some of our old bosses, including the founder of Headspace, who's an investor as well in Toucan. Like Rich Pearson is absolutely incredible at everything he does. So hoping some of that magic rubs up on us. And one of the founders of Honey, Ryan Hudson, is also one of our investors, who is a massive Chrome extension. But Ryan, I've known for over 7 years. I've probably pitched him every idea I've ever had under the sun. And he's always been so kind to take time, give me feedback, and really help me think through different things. And Toucan is the only idea he's ever offered to invest in. So I took that as a good sign. But really just trying to surround myself with as many founders as possible who have been through this before, because it is really hard to teach this stuff, and really just having gone through it before is the best way I found to help prepare myself for what's about to happen.
Gotcha. Is there any books or just general resources that you'd recommend to like a new founder who either has a great idea but not necessarily the network or the knowledge, or is just more curious about taking their idea and seeing if it has product market fit?
Yes. So if the founder is thinking of fundraising, venture deals, hands down, it was my Bible during fundraising time. And it just talks about every single lingo, word, phrase you're going to hear coming out of investors' mouths. And they do this every single day. And in order to give yourself any sort of leverage, you really need to speak the same lingo as they do and really understand what you're negotiating for, why, what's important to you, to give yourself the best chance at setting you up for success.
Love it. I personally have not read that book, but it sounds like a great book if it was your Bible.
So helpful.
By the way, if anyone's just joining, feel free to raise your hand if you have any questions. Kind of another area I wanted to kind of touch on is when you think about like scaling or growing, what do you think about different languages support in terms of eventually there's a limit to different languages and the learning vectors there. But how do you plan on kind of expanding out to other international languages? Do you plan on creating like a globalization team? Or what's kind of your thought process of supporting new languages for Toucan?
Yep. So the team is about to launch Japanese, Russian, and Korean. So three new languages shortly. And Hindi is top of our list as well. But within this next year, 2021, we want to launch 30 different language vectors. And what that means is not just English to Spanish, but now Spanish back to English. And that's really a little over 80% of the language learning market, where we feel like that's a really good place to service the amount of language learners we think we could and should do really, really well.
Got it. Yeah, first of all, let me know when Hindi is there, because I feel like I would love to start learning Hindi visually. Duolingo's okay, but not what I want right now. It's really funny because I speak Marathi, which is like a sub-dialect of Hindi. But I'm really big on like Bollywood movies, but I watch Bollywood movies on mute. And I read subtitles. Yeah.
I love it. That is really like the comprehensible input. I love it. You're immersing yourself, and it's just Toucan is taking on a version of that, and you're getting after it.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully the goal of learning Hindi is to like, number one, I've always wanted to learn Hindi because my parents would talk in Hindi back and forth, and I wanted to know if they were talking about me. And I never knew if they were talking about me because I couldn't understand them. So that was like the main goal. The second one is just like Hindi being the international language that it is, because Marathi is a lot smaller.
It's massive. And it's also just a massive opportunity to be able to service so many different people, whether it's like English to Hindi or Hindi back to English.
Totally. I think what's really interesting when I talk to founders is founders always have, you know, stories from either the worst pitch that they had or the best pitch that they had. And I love kind of dissecting some of those. So if you have a story of kind of what was the worst pitch, obviously you don't have to name who or you were pitching to or, you know, give away any information, but give us a little bit of background about the experience of kind of the worst pitch you had, maybe even the best one.
Worst pitches definitely was never so much on my end versus like everything happening on the investor side. Like definitely had an experience where a partner asked a really ridiculous question and he got called out by his entire team for doing it. And I asked him point blank, did you ask me that just because I'm a woman? And he ended up calling me with one of the managing directors to apologize for his behavior.
Wow.
That was probably worse, but honestly, like, I've had a lot of experiences like that, for better or worse, but, like, investors are people, but they have a lot of power. So making sure that we're building relationships with people, because again, I intend to make my investors a lot of money. So making sure it's going in the right hands. And then best pitch, I mean, we just brought on Baron Davis, who's a two-time NBA All-Star, who's absolutely incredible. And he found me and Toucan via Twitter. He found out about Toucan, tweeted about us, sent us so many, broke our website with the traffic. Then he slid into my DMs, told me, like, he loves Toucan, let's talk, jumped on a phone call. Within two meetings, he's wanting to invest in us. And I personally, not a crazy basketball fan, but just getting to know Baron, he's such an amazing human. And having someone on like him on board with Toucan is really awesome. And I think it speaks to, like, we're not just building an ed tech product. Like, we are building a consumer product that is for humans, like not just students, parents, or teachers, but anyone from traditional ed tech to consumer tech to celebrities to athletes are really rallying around us.
I love that. First of all, I'm a huge basketball junkie, nerd, whatever, diehard Phoenix Suns fan. And I freaked out two times on this app when it comes to NBA players. The first was when I was sitting in a room with Baron Davis, and he was talking about being on the Warriors back in, like, the early 2000s. And I was like, oh, my God, I used to play NBA Inside Drive. I used to play as the Warriors. I used to watch your games, blah, blah, blah. I was kind of fangirling or fanboying for a little bit, but I kept it kind of cool. The second time was when I just lost it. I was completely fanboying the whole time. Was when Channing Frye, who is not that, he's not that well known of a basketball player, probably not as much as Baron Davis, but he's won a couple rings, and he played on the Phoenix Suns for years with the Steve Nash era. Then he played on Cleveland with LeBron, and he won a ring there, and then retired, and now he has his own, like, wine company, etc. And he's also I think he's either a podcast host, where he does, like, commentary on the NBA. But we were talking about that, and then quickly jumped to wines. And I would say I kind of lost it, because growing up, I had a Channing Frye jersey. I, like, went to watch him play for the Phoenix Suns in downtown Phoenix. And he was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize that this app has, like, fans. And I was like, what did you expect, dude? But it was interesting. I was talking to him about basketball rotations and the finals were going on. And then we quickly jumped over to talking about wines. And then he's also getting into investing now. And he was talking about that with some other people on here. So I think the beauty of Clubhouse is just, like, you can talk to anyone and everyone. And you never know who's going to be in a room.
It really is so cool. And Clubhouse and Twitter, it's just crazy that these are free products that we can use and have access to these people.
Right? I love the Bluebird app myself. It's where I have found, I feel like, the majority of my friends in the last 6 months, just because of having to be inside and being sheltered and being, like, sheltering in place and quarantined. This has kind of been, like, Clubhouse and Twitter together have been where I've found, like, proper connection. It's been great. If you're just joining the room, feel free to raise your hand. We'll keep the room open for about probably another 5-10 minutes. If you have a question, feel free to raise your hand, or if you want to comment on anything, just pop your hand up and I'll pop you up to stage to ask Taylor I any questions.
Shardul, I see one of my co-founders just joined. Is there any way you can grab Sean?
Yeah, here, I'll make you a mod if you want to pop someone up.
Okay.
There we go.
Sean, don't be shy.
Hello.
Hey, Sean. Yeah.
Hello. I just came to say that Taylor is amazing and the bestest ever of all time.
Shardul, this is one of my amazing co-founders who's literally the most amazing engineer I've ever worked with, hands down.
Sean,
you're too kind.
Sean, how much did you get paid to say that? And then Taylor, how much did Sean pay you to say that?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
No, it's all true about Taylor. Taylor really is the best. I actually met Taylor because she learned to code her own iPhone apps. At the time, I was specifically an iOS engineer, and we just got really close because Taylor would help me on different business ideas, and I would help Taylor on the coding side. We just became really good friends.
Is that how you guys met originally, before founding Toucan? Did you meet through the iPhone apps?
Exactly. So we were both within two different portfolio companies in Science Incubator. Like, Sean was the first employee at a company called Prey. I was at a company called Pop. But since they house so many portfolio companies within the same office, I would always bounce around to the other founders, to the other employees. And Sean and I just instantly connected because we both had that entrepreneurial drive. And Sean's been building companies since he was, like, a small kid. And he has these stories how, like, he found out he could make money while he was walking the dog around the block and had to scale these things from his bedroom. But, yeah, we met within Science Incubator, and then we got so close that he told me he was jumping over to Fair right before SoftBank injected a mere $350 million into the company. I was like, well, wherever Sean's going, I'm going also. So I followed him within 2 weeks.
Wow. What a story.
Taylor was literally the go-to person in that whole building, though, for anything, business development, partnerships. Like, she unofficially worked across the whole portfolio. It was amazing.
Wow. How did you guys meet your third co-founder?
So I met Brandon really early at Headspace. Like, he was leading most of everything product-wise. We both joined pre-funding. There was, like, 10, 15 of us. There wasn't yet 1,000 meditation apps out there. But when you scale a company from 10 employees to 300, like, pre-funding, post-Series B, you get really close with the original team there. And then him and I would just bounce around across the whole org, and we're kind of like those two go-to people. And I just knew if I was going to start something, it was definitely going to be with Brandon, because not only is he, like, insanely talented at product, but he's also an amazing human, just like Sean.
We call him the unicorn of product people, because once you work with Brandon on the product side, it's so hard to work with anyone else except for, like, who he's worked with. He's so good.
Wow. By the way, if you're just joining the room, feel free to ask any questions. Taylor and Sean here are the co-founders of Join Toucan. You can install the Chrome extension at jointoucan.com. If you have any questions, feel free to pop up. But other than that, Sean, do you have a question for Taylor or I, or vice versa?
Oh, let's see. What's a potential favorite word for our Own the Word program that you'd like to own?
I think I own Raconteur. I might be mistaken, okay. But I think back a couple months ago, was it a month ago? Maybe a month ago. How do you check what words you own?
That is... Shardul, I'll check that out for you. Sean, okay. That's such a good question. Thank you for asking that. I love the plug for Own the Word.
No, but Shardul had the good question too of how do we check that, and that's coming very soon.
Okay.
We're building out a much, much better dashboard for you to see what words you own, claim different words, all sorts of fun things coming soon.
Yippee. Yeah, I love that growth hack of, like, hey, well, if you want to buy a word, buy a word. And then I think you were just giving words out. And I don't know when it started, but I started just, like, completely cutting out my bio on a lot of platforms and just putting the word, I don't know when it started. It was just like, I came across the word raconteur. Oh, I do know when it started. I was going down like a One Direction rabbit hole, as one does. And I found that Harry Styles refers to himself as a raconteur sometimes. And I don't know why. If anyone knows why, let me know. But raconteur just means like storyteller. But it sounds cool. And that I just started using that word. And then it was the first one that came to mind when I think you had put out that tweet of like, hey, if you want to own a word, what's a word? And I was like, oh, there we go. What words do you guys own?
What do I own? I own lion, but Simba owns it.
Oh, okay.
For anyone listening, listening to, we just launched a second option for you to be able to purchase or gain access to Words for free for 7 days. So go own some Words. It's so fun. And then you can share it out on social. We give each person a bespoke URL that comes with like beautiful landing page and assets attached to the link.
Awesome. Sean, what are you on?
I own the word Sky. That's my dog. So not Simba, but Sky. And she does have her own word on Toucan. So that was very exciting.
That is so cool. By the way, if you're just joining, feel free to pop your hand up and Taylor or I will bring you up to stage to ask any questions or add any comments. Taylor and Sean are the founders of Join Toucan, which is a Chrome extension for learning languages immersively. Did I get your pitch right?
Boom. I love it.
Got it. But yeah, if anyone has a question, feel free to pop up. I'll keep the room recording. Oh, hey, what's up, Noreen?
Oh. Taylor, what's up, Sean? Shardul, how are you doing?
Great.
I'm a big fan of Toucan, so I think I can't remember exactly. I think you mentioned this once on Twitter or something, but I'm a Mac user, so I use Safari most of the time. So I know you guys are like working on the Safari extension, but I'm curious, if there are any sort of updates around that area.
Ooh, coming soon on the roadmap. Firefox and Safari, we wanted them both. So strategically, we're waiting for the right time to launch them, but we have the tech in place to scale out to both platforms. So we're just waiting till we have a little bit more resources under our belt to be able to support all three. But also, we are partnered fairly closely with Google, and so we want to keep that relationship strong as we keep scaling. But Safari and Firefox definitely want to be launching that, most likely early next year, probably Q1.
Awesome. Always fun following you guys. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Noreen. If anyone has any more questions, feel free to pop up. Otherwise, I have one last question for the two co-founders here. What is one thing that you'd like to shout out aside from building the user base of Toucan?
Sean, do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it, Taylor.
Okay, so feedback. I hope this counts, Shardul. So my email is Taylor, Taylor, Neiman, Nieman, at joinToucan.com. I read all my email. Also, for anyone downloading Toucan, I send everyone a welcome email asking for feedback. Like, Twitter DMs are always open also. Like, any feedback, any bugs found, like, we're trying to make the product better every single day. And always love speaking with any users who are also using the product.
Love it. That's such a good one. And I would really second that too. And one of the things that I find so valuable about talking with users is we started working on all sites to begin with rather than a few sites. And especially the early users, they definitely put up with a lot of kind of like back and forth with us. And so anytime you encounter any issues with Toucan, let us know. We love to chat with you. And we love to make sure that it's working on all your favorite sites.
Love it. Mine is the way that I try to end most of my podcasts is my shout out is just for people to be kind to each other. My kind of motto that I've adopted for, I guess, 2020, maybe going forward too, is be kind. You never know what battle other people are fighting, and many people are fighting an unforeseen. I'm butchering this, which is great for an audio podcast. But basically, be kind to each other because you never know what someone else is going through. And
I love that.
That's beautiful.
Thanks. I think with that, I think I'm going to close out the pod. But thank you so much, Taylor and Sean. They're the co-founders of Toucan. You can check out Toucan at jointoucan.com to learn any language you want seamlessly. And big thank you to Taylor to just coming on to the pod. It'll be up in the next, probably tomorrow, maybe Wednesday. And if you want to reach out to any of us, our DMs are always open. Taylor, Sean, you want to shout out your Twitters?
Yes, at Taylor_Neiman, and Sean is at Sean, SHAUN, Merritt, MERRITT_.
Awesome. And I'm Shardulgo on Twitter. That's Shardulgo across all platforms. And if you have any feedback for any of us, feel free to reach us. The way I reached out to Taylor was through her DMs, same way that Baron Davis is now an investor in Toucan. So from big to small. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. And thank you again to Taylor and Sean for coming on the pod. I appreciate you guys' time. And be kind to everyone that you meet. With that, I'll do the little outro music, and we will call it a pod.